The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and in the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the ninth Psalm we hear, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. We pray, O Lord, that you will watch over our travel home this day. We pray that you will look kindly on our families and bless them so that they may be filled with love and happiness as they fulfill the responsibilities you have given them. And may we stay connected with you, Lord, mindful of your presence this weekend. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Good job, good job. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Butler. Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 12th day, Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. The Senate met...
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move that the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guest. Senator from the 11th. Purpose, do you rise?
Introduction of special guest, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
Mr. President, today I have Dr. Donald Potts, who's made his way up from the home Harry Truman to be our physician of the day. Dr. Potts here has given every year for the last 35 years to come down and make sure we're in good health. He, like myself, married up, and I was fortunate enough to sit on the board of directors with his wife, Barbara, who's also the former mayor of Independence at Truman Medical Center. And I'd like everybody to give him a nice round of applause for his service, and we hope to see you next year.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Center from the 11th. Introduction of guest. Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your right and my left, I have two special guests this morning. First of all, Mr. Joe Henke. Joe, if he'll stand up. Joe is serving as my intern this year. Haven't met Joe.
Would the Senate please come to order? We're doing an introduction of guests. Please keep the noise down. Senator from Bart.
Mr. President, if you haven't met Joe, you will be meeting him working on Tuesdays and Thursdays out of my office, and we're pleased to have him. Joe is a student at MU studying international studies, and he spent a semester in Spain studying there, so he's gotten some firsthand experience in that area. Also, on your right and my left, my new chief of staff. Some of you knew that Josh Foster bailed on me after all the training, and I've been He's been captured by a higher administration, and so I've lost him, and Mr. Steve Allers has taken over that position in my office. Most of you have already met Steve. If you haven't, you will be meeting Steve. Steve is a longtime public servant. He's served 32 years in Missouri, two large state agencies. He was known in the Capitol by many as the DMV guy because he would help them with difficult car titling issues. Steve and his wife of 27 years, Gina, live in Cole County. They have they've been blessed with one son, Connor, one daughter, Kaylee Spencer. She and her husband, Skyler, are the grandparents of Kennedy and Beckett Spencer from Kearney, which I'm sure they're very proud of. And I would ask the body to please welcome Steve into their offices whenever he's doing his duties to my office, also to welcome him now to the chamber.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator from Barton and a new member of the Senate staff. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Berry, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a concurrent resolution.
Please send it forward. Senator, do you care to explain your resolution?
Yes, Mr. President. This resolution designates the week beginning the second Saturday in June of each year as Law Enforcement Recognition Week.
Senator, your resolution will be printed in the journal.
Thank you.
Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation needed.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 364, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to agricultural land values.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the ninth, what purpose do you rise? Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 365, introduced by Senator Curls, an act relating to real property owned by limited liability companies.
Senator, would you care to explain your bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. No additional explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
One bill and no explanation is needed.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 366, introduced by Senator Koenig, an act relating to the licensure of psychologists.
Introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of bills for third reading of Senate bills. First bill is Senate substitute for number 2, Senate Bill 19, Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 19 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Phelps moves that Senate substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 19 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many as of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 19 be third read and finally passed.
The Senator from Phelps moves that Senate substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 19 be read a third time and put upon its final passage. Senator, do you care to explain?
This is the bill we discussed last night. Senate Bill 19 is Freedom to Work, Right to Work Bill, and I think everyone has it pretty fresh in their mind. Any questions, I'll try to answer.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire the senator from the 17th.
Senator from the 17th. Senator from the 17th, do you yield?
I do.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I just wanted to recap a little bit of the last 3 days of debate, talk a little bit about this, and I chose to have my inquiry with you because while the process is partisan, the policy is not. What the implications and the consequences of this policy has nothing to do with whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or what you ran as or campaign promises, because we're all going to be gone. And when we're gone, this policy that we're getting ready to vote on will live beyond us. And I also want to talk a little bit about how the process in this chamber produced this policy without a single amendment from the minority, and what the old Senate would have done with a piece of legislation like this versus how we handle it today. So if you don't mind, I would like to start with talking about just what this bill is intended to do and what we think it'll actually do. So we've seen this will be the 28th state that adopts this policy. There's been a variety of forms of that this policy has, or iterations that this policy has finally passed in around the country. I think that this iteration is one of the most stringent in being difficult for workers to understand what's in it for them. Like, what is the benefit for them? And we've heard many reasons given for what this policy is meant to do, but we haven't heard the justification or the logic for what a company is meant to receive or why they are seeking a right-to-work state and what benefit they get. Now, you and I talked about that, and your answer was lower wages. I mean,
I might remind everybody in the upper galleries there is no video or photography of the Senate proceedings. Senator from... Yeah, you may
thank you.
I mean, Senator, that's the only thing I can think of. I mean, I don't know how else this becomes a more business-friendly climate or a magnet for businesses to locate here if it doesn't in some way affect the cost of labor. And the cost of labor is wages. So lower wages is the only thing I can think of as to why this would be, why you would do this.
We heard one other consideration given to us by the senator from the 26th, that hostile work environment. So,
but what drives the hostility, Senator?
Probably compensation.
Probably a disagreement over wages. On you know, the workers feeling they should be paid a certain amount, and the employer feeling they shouldn't pay them that amount. Apart from that, there would be no hostility.
Did we ever hear from anybody give us a reason why Boeing would have chosen to stay with the union in the unionized state of Washington rather than go to South Carolina?
No, I never heard a good explanation. You know, to me, that is the quintessential example. I mean, and we went over it, but you had a company that had a dispute with their union, and they basically got to the point where they said, look, we're not going to approve this contract. In fact, we're going to shop around and see if we can get a better deal making these planes somewhere else. Missouri was one of the places because we make military Boeing aircraft in St. Louis. South Carolina was one of the places because they make some military Boeing aircraft in South Carolina. So we had a special session. We came back. We said, hey, look, we're going to put together an incentive package, which, by the way, I think what got lost in that whole shuffle, a big part of that incentive package, if you remember, was the labor community, the building trades, coming to the table and saying, look, we will work 24 hours a day. They gave some concessions as it came to overtime. Many things that they came to the table with and said, we will help keep costs down of the construction of this facility if you will come to St. Louis and bring those jobs to St. Louis. South Carolina, as a right-to-work state, they also put a package on the table. And then at the end of the day, Boeing went right back not only to a non-right-to-work state, but to the very union that caused the dispute in the first place and negotiated with them to keep the line in Washington State. So if right-to-work was a panacea, if it was a magnet for jobs, it would have sucked those jobs out of Washington and into South Carolina, whether or not we put together a package or not.
Okay, so we didn't hear justification for why that logic didn't hold. How about the 9,400 jobs lost in Kansas, a right-to-work state? Did you hear anything in debate that made
you
believe?
That's fake news, Senator. We've been over this. There's no way Kansas lost 9,400 jobs. No, we know it's true. I mean, those are the numbers. And the numbers, I mean, they are what they are. Year-over-year job loss of 9,400 jobs right next door in a right-to-work state.
But I'm trying to divorce partisan ideology from this discussion.
Good luck.
Thank you. And really look at it from a social science standpoint of what the words on this page will do to society. What will the sociological implications be for our economy, for the day-to-day lives and routines of the hardworking middle-class folks that wake up every day and swing a hammer? I'm trying to get to a place where this makes sense, that there isn't some nefarious political undercurrent as to why. But I can't get there. So we haven't had a reason why they chose Washington over South Carolina. We haven't had a reason why Kansas lost 9,400 jobs. We haven't had a reason why companies look for right-to-work states other than lower wages, which is not good for the worker, and we say we're doing this for the worker, or being able to take advantage of them. I talked about the matchbooks yesterday, and if you have one matchstick, it's very easy to break. But if you put 50 matchsticks together and you try to break them all at the same time, you cannot do it. So if this is an effort to separate the matches so that each one can be broken, how is that good for the worker?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you, Senator. I think everybody in this room and everybody in this state is probably crystal clear that we agree on this issue. You know, one of the disappointing things about this bill to me is kind of how we got here, and you kind of opened with your process, your process discussion. But there were a number of things that would not have derailed this bill that were probably good ideas. That we discussed, and you know, I will credit the leadership for allowing that discussion.
Yeah, they didn't
not throwing down a Senate sub, not throwing down an, you know, we all know, I mean, those of us that have been around long enough, we all know how to tree a bill and keep substantive discussion out. So the fact that didn't happen, I'm grateful for.
I agree. But just allowing the discussion, allowing the amendments, that is a basic fundamental right of this chamber. You shouldn't get an award because you didn't tree a bill and PQ it.
I agree with that. But I'm just simply making the point that we've seen that in the past.
We have.
On this bill, actually.
We have.
So the fact that we didn't do that was helpful. But, you know, when we look at what those amendments were and the tweaks, right? I mean, the Senate used to be a place where we tweaked things, right? I mean, things would come over from the House or things would come out of committee or whatever, and every senator has input. And not to derail, not to completely crush or kill a bill. I mean, that happens occasionally in the Senate, too. But it used to be a place where you could truly tweak things and fine-tune them and say, look, you know, let's get this to a place where, you know, I think it was the senator from
13th.
Senator from the 13th that said, I can count, right?
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. But let's at least make the policy something that we can get some consensus on in some way, like even right. if it's a small part. Like, we redid the criminal code a couple years ago, right? This is now going to be a crime? I mean, seems a bit much.
Well, not to mention that other states, equally as conservative Missouri, have not made it a crime.
Right.
And so it's not like that change was going to hamper the bill's ability to be passed. And
or the bill's ability to function because it's functioning in those other states without it being a crime.
But here's the thing. This is when I talked about the second part of our discussion, the process. This is January. This is the first debate we've had. We have plenty of time to send it over to the House, and if you find out that a change we've made is detrimental, the House can change it back. And they can send that bill back over here for another discussion. And if that doesn't work, we have this thing called conference.
We also have a House bill that's already over here.
So,
I mean, there's a number of avenues. I don't think anybody thinks we're going home in May without having passed some version of this bill.
So I don't understand the rigidity. I don't understand this idea that if we change the bill, that somehow either the governor's not going to sign it, and maybe if you get to a point where it's at a, you know, we're in late April, early May, and the governor says, I don't like this provision, I'm not going to sign it, and that kicks it back in here for discussion on that, then you have the numbers, you can remove anything you want.
Right.
But to do it in January is not having the type of faith in this institution as a whole, as a General Assembly, to work on policy to try to perfect it. That's what we call the perfection process. If we didn't have the perfection process, then the sponsor of the bill could have just walked out and dropped the sub, and we would have PQ'd it in 2 minutes of his explanation of it, and then that would have been it.
Right. Well, let me also say that, you know, the process of amending, you know, and the consideration of the governor's office is something that needs to be taken into account. And this is the first major issue. I mean, he campaigned on it. He's going to sign it. That he's really been engaged in as far as the legislature moving. But let me just say, you know, when I came up with my amendment, which was literally
organic,
a product of the discussion, no one brought it to me. No one called and said, hey, can you try to make this change? No lobbyist handed me an amendment and said, hey, can you try to run this? It was literally something that was born out of discussion. I took the amendment. I shared it with the sponsor. I shared it with the governor's office and asked if the governor's office would consider it. That amendment was taken to someone in the governor's office. And instead of having a discussion with me about my amendment, what it would do, why I want to do it, the message was simply sent back from the second floor, no, we don't like it, we're not going to support it.
And
that's fine. I'm not saying they have to support it, but there was zero discussion with me about it. I handed it to somebody, they ran it to somebody else, and then a message came back and said, nope, it's going to die, and then guess what? Everybody voted against it.
I heard a different message. I ran into a member of the governor's staff and asked them about it. And the response to me was, well, this is an awful big change in the 11th hour of this debate. We're in January. If this was a problem, you have 4 months left to go over in the House and to send it back.
Well, and
I mean, the urgency of this is just befuddling.
I would just urge the administration to use this as a learning experience to actually work with us. You know, I was frustrated with the Nixon administration, enormously frustrated, because the only people that we ever talked to were lower-level staff who had no authority to do anything. And I'm hoping that that's different with this administration. I'm really hoping that we can have real discussion about things and not just...
I would ask that the conversation stay low in this chamber so the senators can debate. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I'm gonna look at the glass being half full and hope that in future discussions that the process is a little more in-depth than me handing off an amendment and then getting a call back saying no.
And I want to point out also, do you remember a time when we got a lesson in the Senate our first year? Senator from the first stood up and let everybody know that this would be a cope vote on, it was an education bill, I think, or something, and the former senator from Nieves district got up and said, Senator, this is the Senate. This is not the House. We right. do not tell other senators how to vote. We do not tell other senators what interest groups are going to rate this vote. And he dressed down the senator from the first for getting up and saying that someone outside of this room was going to rate or have a impact on how we voted in here. And you know what? That senator was right, and the senator from the first took his licking on that one as a new member, and we all paid attention, and that never happened again until last night. Got close with the sponsor of the bill standing up, and who I understand the sponsor of the bill wants to talk on the amendments as they relate, but it sounded to me that every single amendment that came up, it was just an instruction to everyone, almost like, if you vote for this amendment, then the interests who want this amendment are going to be displeased. That's what I heard. I didn't hear policy arguments as to why that amendment wasn't going to work. I didn't hear policy arguments as to, for example, your amendment.
Yeah, it seemed very predetermined. The whole process seemed very predetermined.
That is not a Senate.
I agree. The Senate used to change things.
No, it was 0-6. Think about that. One of the biggest pieces of legislation that define an election, according to the majority, and it was 0-6 on changes.
On tweaks.
On tweaks.
Little change.
On things that other states have done to pass this out. Very reasonable. Getting rid of the civil penalties, stepping down the criminal penalties. Yours of codifying, rather, an employer has to recognize member unions. Those weren't poison pills. They were adjustments to a policy to make the impact better.
In fact, the one that I offered, I believe codified what the intent was that we were being told by the proponents, which was that members could have a member-only agreement and bargain as a unit, but not everyone else, and that you didn't have the freeloading situation that you have in every other state that's passed this bill. And the fact that it came out of debate, the fact that we had discussions about it, and that there was no real clear reason as to why we shouldn't do it. I mean, the one thing that was offered up was, well, it may conflict with federal law, which, no offense, but kind of humorous compared to what we do in this chamber on a yearly basis. Of things that may conflict with federal law.
Yeah.
Also recognizing the process that the courts are the constitutional arbiter of whether or not it conflicts with federal law.
Right.
We are to craft policy, and then they're to guide on whether or not it's constitutional, or whether it conflicts. But
so our only recourse to the process going in a direction that we don't see fit is to continue to talk for as long as we're able to until they use the power to remove that. We chose not to do that last night. We chose to, we set our piece, we can count, we know the numbers, we know that debate was going to come to an end. But I will tell you, Senator, and I am telling everyone else in this room, that if that is the way that we're going to legislate going forward, then I don't see any reason for us to continue that type of cooperation. I understand that this particular piece of legislation was the golden calf of the agenda of those who sponsored the electoral success from the 2016 election. Millions of dollars were poured into elections by interests who want to see this change in policy. So consequently, this is the first thing that we change.
Well, I think that there's a great amount of understanding and deference on this bill, as you said, because this is nothing new. This is something that's been legislated in the past. This is something that many members in this chamber have voted on, sent it to Governor Nixon. Governor Nixon vetoed it. It came back. This is a pretty vetted process. But moving forward, after this, we're going to start getting into some things that have not been that vetted, things that have not been sent to the governor, vetoed, and sent back. And if we continue down this path of predetermined legislation before it hits this floor, not allowing senators to tweak or make changes, it's going to be a sad day for the Senate that we have fully become the House. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that when we get past this top tier of issues that we just needed to get done because Governor Nixon blocked it, I hope that we go back to being the Senate.
Senator, this is the last time I'm going to speak on this bill today, our inquiry. I'm not going to speak on the bill when you and I end. So I wanted to do just a real brief policy recap. So we have a piece of legislation in front of us that is, we're told, for the workers, but you and I have never had a rank-and-file union member come and ask us to do this.
Well, and frankly, to keep beating a dead horse, the amendment I offered yesterday was worker-centric. That would have let the workers decide how they wanted to be represented.
Right. That amendment would have put the worker at the center of the decision-making and actually bring freedom to their choices.
And repercussions for their choices.
Right.
If you don't want to pay, that's fine. No one's going to make you do that, but you negotiate on your own.
Very similar to your real ID bill.
As opposed to freeloading, which is what we're going to have.
Very similar to your real ID bill. So there must be something to letting the citizen be the one to decide.
I am a fan of individual choice in these matters.
I agree. So we haven't had a rank-and-file union member come to us and say that this is good for them and they want this to happen. We have a state right next door who's a right-to-work state that lost 9,400 jobs. We have an example of a company who does business in both right-to-work states and non-right-to-work states, choose the union state for their development. We haven't heard anything that's in the benefit of the worker for why a company wants to choose a right-to-work state. The only thing I'm left to think of is this is about more profits for the wealthy. And when we talk about elections, we saw an entire movement rise up around Bernie Sanders and the progressive rhetoric of the 1%. Whether you buy into that or not, it's hard to argue that with this policy, the rich are going to get richer, and the middle class will shrink. Now, labor unions offer training. They offer collective negotiation for higher compensation. And that 8% that choose to be card-carrying, they prop up and support the 92% that choose not to be card-carrying in their wages. And we've seen those wages go down and right-to-work states. So I am left with the conclusion that this policy is derived from wealthy interests who don't want to have to deal with a collective unit, that don't want to have to compensate out of their profits properly for the labor that's provided to them. And instead of continuing those hard negotiations, they've come to the legislature and they've spent millions of dollars and they have prioritized this policy in an effort to better their bottom line. So it's not about the worker. And anybody who believes that this legislation is in the benefit of the worker haven't read the policy. But I'm going to vote no. I'm going to encourage my colleagues to vote no. I'm sure that logic, reason, intelligent design on social science policy is not going to win out today. But for all the reasons that we've talked about, I'm hopeful that this bill will be the last time this year that we see the process work this way, and that the Senate will actually function as a Senate and allow for a better work product to come out of this chamber.
Senator, I'm hopeful for that too. And, you know, we had a similar discussion at one point last year where I made the point on this floor that I've served 8 years in the House and I wanted to come to a different place, and I thought I was coming to a different place. And we have a lot of members, a few members, that this is their first term in the Senate that have come from the House. And I bet this process looks pretty familiar to them right now. And I hope this is the last time that I hope they get to be senators. Let me just put it that way. I hope they get to be senators in their time.
I do too. Senator, it's a pleasure to serve with you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 19? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Phelps, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Phelps renews his motion that Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 19 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill Number 19, an act relating to labor organizations. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Pearls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibola, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan. By your vote of 21 ayes and 12 noes, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection.
Senator from the 14th.
Maybe I said that a little bit early, but if we were going to go to a concurrent resolution, I was going to object to that. Is that what you were, or if I'm speaking to the president, Mr.
That
president.
Motion has not been made at this point.
Okay.
All right. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to order business of resolutions.
Hearing no objection, Senator from the 14th. I'm sorry, Senator from Cole.
The Senate go to the order business of resolutions.
Senator from the 14th has objected. Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise? I'm sorry, Senator from the 7th.
Point of order, Mr. President. I believe that a suspension of the rules is required to move on an objection to go back to an order of business that has already been dispensed with.
Your point of order will be referred to the President Pro Tem of the Senate. Does anyone desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
I would like to speak on the point of order.
You may proceed.
Just observing what happened here, our floor leader wants to move from an order of business to an order of business that one of our rules says would have to come earlier. And we do things here in the Senate such that we can suspend any rule as long as nobody objects. You can literally do just about anything in the Senate as long as nobody objects. But we are a nation of laws, and our Senate must operate as a mini example to the nation that we are a Senate of rules. If she objected, then in order to do anything different, there must be a suspension of the rules. And I believe that our rules require that in order to suspend the rules, the motion would have to say the reason for the suspension, and it would require a two-thirds vote of our members. So, I mean, just to speak on the point of order, the correct way that this should be done is that there should be a motion to suspend the rules and go back to that order of business. The way I believe that it should be done.
Further discussion on the point of order. Senator from Cole.
I inquire the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Mr. President, I don't know whether it's appropriate to have an inquiry during the discussion of a point of order, but if it's okay, then I certainly would accept an inquiry.
The inquiry is always in order.
Okay.
On that.
Thank you. So if I understood what you were saying is that since we have an objection, then we would go back to a motion to suspend the rules to go to that order of business? Is that what you're...
Senator, isn't it true that our rules say that we will dispose of business in a certain order?
That's correct.
So if we do anything different than that, we usually do that without objection. That happens over and over.
Right.
But if somebody objects, if one of my colleagues objects, then what we're asking to do is to suspend that rule.
Okay.
So the motion should really be to suspend the rules. And I think the senator from
7th
is just simply making that point of order.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can do anything as a body, but there's just a proper way of doing it, and I believe that it would be to suspend the rules.
All right. I was trying to have you clarify that while the little circle of conversation is going on, just so maybe they were hearing that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator from the 7th. Senator from the 7th, would you please restate your point of order?
My point of order is that the floor leader cannot move that we move back to that without suspension of the rules. So the next motion that he makes is to suspend the rules that we go in order, and then we can go back. But without that suspension, he cannot just because she objects, he cannot just do a simple majority move to go back to it. You must suspend the rule that says we go in order before he can do that.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Senator Senator from the first, for purpose you rise.
Speak on the point of order, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
I'll just make the – I believe the point of order is well taken. I'll make the observation that if the senator from Cole were to withdraw his underlying motion to go to that order of business, I think that would moot the point of order, removing the necessity of making a ruling on the point of order. And the senator from Cole could then make whatever motion he feels necessary, such as a motion to suspend the rules to go back to the order of resolutions. I will say, personally, not super wild about getting into rule suspension motions at any point in time. I understand the concerns that are motivating everybody that we're hearing from today, and I'm here to just help make sure that we color inside the lines as we go about doing it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th.
I withdraw the point of order.
Point of order has been withdrawn. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate go to the order of business of concurrent resolutions.
Restate the motion. Okay, there's a motion before the body. Senator from... The motion before the body is that we move to go to the order of business of concurrent resolutions. Is any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the from Clay, purpose do you rise?
President, point of order, I believe the motion should be to suspend Rule 3.
Your point of order will be referred to the President Pro Tem of the Senate. Does anyone care to speak on the point of order? Any senator desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you have?
Having had an opportunity to look at our rules, it appears to me...
Senator from Buchanan, you need to state...
I'm sorry,
you need to state what your purpose of speaking on.
Yes, I would like to speak on the point of order, Mr.
You may
President.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Having had an opportunity to grab the rule book and look, it appears that Rule 3 states, the business of the Senate shall be disposed of in the following order. And then there is the order of business. Number 5 is concurrent resolutions. Number 4 is resolutions. Number 13 is third reading of Senate bills. We just got done with third reading of Senate bill. So in order to not do that, there's two ways that can happen. If we want to not follow the rules, what happens is somebody says, unless there is an objection, I would ask that we go to a previous order of business. And that happened appropriately. And then one of my colleagues objected. Now it appears that Rule 98 would kick in. Rule 98 says, no standing rule or order of the Senate shall be rescinded or changed without one day's notice being given of the motion thereof, which notice shall be printed in the journal of the Senate, and then only by a vote of at least a majority of the senators elected, except that any rule, including this rule, can be suspended for a special purpose stated in the motion to suspend by a vote of the two-thirds majority of the members elected to the Senate. And so it seems to me that if one of my colleagues, I don't care who it is, objects and wants to enforce the rules by which we operate, then we should respect the rules and we should have a vote to suspend the rules, and it would require a two-thirds vote of the senators. And the motion, according to this rule, should state the purpose for the motion to suspend the rules. So I don't know what the purpose would be here, but it should be stated. We should follow this rule. That would be my opinion, Mr. President. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from Cole.
I move that the Senate stand at ease.
The senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand at. The Senate will stand at ease. The Senate is now back in session. We have a point of order pending from the Senator from Clay.
President.
Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
As the Senate has functioned as the Senate and a resolution has been reached, I gleefully withdraw my point of order.
Point of order will be withdrawn. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I withdraw my motion.
Senator from Clay, your motion will be withdrawn. Senator from Cole.
They just said that.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the President of the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Senator from Cole moves that the Senate go to the order of business of standing committees, reports from standing committees. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The order of business is reports of standing committees. We're on the order of business reports of standing committees. Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, your Ways and Means Committee has a report.
Send the report forward. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Ways and Means, to which was referred Senate Bill 16, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Krause, Chairman.
Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, your Committee on General Laws has a report.
Senate report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on General Laws, to which was referred Senate Bill 182, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Onder, Chairman.
Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Government Reform has three reports.
Please send your reports forward. Madam Secretary, read the three reports.
Mr. President, your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred Senate Bill 5, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, Your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred Senate Bill 237, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, Your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred Senate Bill 45, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Emery, Chairman.
Senator from Butler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Small Business and Industry has a report.
Send your report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 113, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Libela, Chairman.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
President, your Committee on Veterans Affairs has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, to which was referred Senate Bill 37 and Senate Bill 244, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Wallingford, Chairman.
Senator Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Health and Pensions has a report.
I'll send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Health and Pensions, to which was referred Senate Bill 74, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Schaaf, Chairman.
Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, would you ask them to please be read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, would you please read the messages?
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 130, entitled An Act Relating to Transportation Network Companies, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that the Senate go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Senator from Cole moves that the Senate go to the order of business of Senate bills for second reading. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it. We are now on Senate bills for second reading. Senator from Newton.
Senate Bill 316.
Senate Bill 316, an act relating to password protection.
General laws. Senate Bill 317.
Senate Bill 317, an act relating to physician referral for physical therapy.
Professional registration, Senate Bill 318.
Senate Bill 318, an act relating to unlawful possession of firearms.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety, Senate Bill 319.
Senate Bill 319, an act relating to the administration of emergency services in certain cities.
Local government elections, Senate Bill 320.
Senate Bill 320, an act relating to...
Senate, please come to order. Keep your conversations down while the Senate is conducting business. Madam Secretary, please proceed.
Senate Bill 320, an act relating to electrical contractor licenses.
Government reform, Senate Bill 321.
Senate Bill 321, an act relating to the admissibility of the use of a safety belt as evidence of comparative negligence.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety, Senate Bill 322.
Senate Bill 322, an act relating to the designation of certain memorial infrastructure.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety, Senate Bill 323.
I will ask again that when you're in the Senate chamber, you'll keep your conversations down while the Senate is conducting business. Madam Secretary, please proceed.
Senate Bill 323, an act relating to the operation of motorcycles and motor tricycles.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety, Senate Bill 324.
Senate Bill 324, an act relating to personal flotation devices.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety, Senate Bill 325.
Senate Bill 325, an act relating to sales and use tax exemptions.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 326.
Senate Bill 326, an act relating to low-profit limited liability companies.
Ways and Means, House Bill 60. Well, do we need to go to, are you wanting to, that's all the Senate bills. I still have a House bill. You're going to change the order of business, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Cole.
I move that the Senate go to the order of business of House bills on second reading.
Senator from Cole moves that the Senate move to the order of business of House bills on second reading. All those in favor of that motion say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are now on the order of business of House bills for second reading. Senator from Newton.
House Bill 60.
House Bill 60, an act relating solely to lobbyist expenditures.
Rules, joint rules, resolution, ethics. And, Mr. President, would you refer Senate Concurrent Resolution 11 to Rules, Joint Rules, Resolution, Ethics?
It shall be referred. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of a business of announcements. 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 Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming for the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, January 26th, 2017.
Senator from Cole moves that no further business coming before the body, that the Senate will stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, January the 22nd. 2017.
I would amend my motion for January 30th, Mr. President. The script was printed wrong, and I will be admonishing the script person that wears no socks shortly. January 30th, Mr. President.
The motion from the Senator from Cole is that no further business coming before the body, that the Senate will stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, January the 30th, 2017. All those in favor of that motion say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, January the 30th, 2017.